If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me for a few moments here in the last book of the Bible, last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, I'm going to give you a few verses this morning. We won't look up everyone for sake of time, but on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references. I hope that you will. And just like our sister shared a moment ago, the Holy Spirit brings the word to remembrance to us. He guides us in truth, but we have to get it in first. It doesn't just say he'll kind of pop it in, although he could, but what he's already inspired in his word is available to us. So we want to hear the word of the Lord, want to dwell on it, confess it, speak it, pray it, and just receive it, really. And so again, however you best can take it in. Some people, I'm a note taker, I guess. I like writing the notes. It helps me. And then, of course, I have it for future reference, but I guess whatever works for you, I hope you do that. And just mainly, let's get it in our heart. And Revelation chapter 22, and I'm going to begin actually just with a few verses from Genesis, if you want to write those down. So Genesis, again, and then I'll join you there in Revelation. In fact, let me say this real quick so those who are listening can hear it. I want to take an opportunity, because your input is valuable to me, and I've thought about this over the last couple weeks. If you have a question about whether it's about me, the ministry here, maybe something on the Bible, I don't know it all, but if it's something that maybe you ask and I can help, maybe I can at least guide. If you have a topic that you would like to hear, maybe address from God's word, if you'll write it, that would be a great blessing to me. I trust your pen more than my memory. So if you would write it or email, I'll give the email for those who might be listening. It's actually, I can just give you the website, clmfamily.org. There are all of the messages we've had over the last year and a half or so are there, articles and history of the church pictures, clmfamily.org. You can download a message, listen to them anytime. But there's an email link there, so you can email me with a prayer request, email me with a question, concern, anything at all. And I check those generally every morning. So even if I'm out of town or something, if I have access, I'll pull it up and check those for prayer. So if you have a prayer request, praise, I'll rejoice with you, I'll pray with you, whatever the case may be, all right? Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering, literally fluttering, over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, the Spirit of God was hovering, and God spoke God's word. Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 17. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride is a term used for the church or the people of God. The Spirit and the bride say, come, there's an invitation. And let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So there again, the Spirit of the Lord. Then verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. From creation on into the new creation, the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of the Lord bring revelation and life. From creation into the new creation, the Spirit of God and the Word of God bring revelation and life. And today I want to just share a message of we need both the Spirit and the Word. And so today I want to continue one more Thanksgiving theme. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. Thank God for his Spirit and his Word. As I've shared over the first two Sundays of November, I thank God for my family and his family. Last week, thank God for saving me and calling me. And I hope that you would be able to say these as well, that it would come from your heart. Thank God for his Spirit and his Word. And sometimes the timing is interesting to me of how the Lord orchestrates events. In just this week, one of the devotions I read is called Guideposts. And on Monday, I was reading about a traveling comedian. He traveled around and he wanted to basically spread a message of hope. And it was actually worded, he wants to encourage people to be positive and a force for good against the darkness of this world. But he was quick to point out that his hope was not in God. And if you just forgive me, I'm just going to repeat how he referred to God. He referred to God as the floaty man, F-L-O-A-T-Y, the floaty man. He said he didn't believe in the floaty man like some people do. And this is the reason why. He said because he does not understand how an all-powerful being who supposedly loved us would stand idly by and watch as children die of cancer or Nazi soldiers gas 6 million Jews. I don't know this man. I'm not asking this to put him down, but I really am sincere when I ask. I wonder how many are missing out on a relationship with God and how many are missing God's will for their lives because, like this man, they do not have a revelation of God that is based on his Spirit and his Word. And again, we need both. Thank God for his Spirit and his Word. And over the years, I'm coming to appreciate more. There is power in thanksgiving. There is power in being thankful. And not only are we commanded to be thankful in Scripture, because God is good and we have many things to be thankful for. But I believe that there are two benefits of being grateful. If we are genuinely grateful to God for his blessings, the first thing it will do is it'll keep us from taking his blessings for granted. If I'm thankful, if I'm genuinely grateful for God's Spirit, his presence in my life, I'm not going to just neglect him and take it for granted. If I'm genuinely grateful for God's Word, I'm not going to just neglect it where's my Sunday morning? Where's my Bible? Or, just kind of go all week and not even think about God's Word. I won't take it for granted. But not only that, if we're genuinely grateful, it will help us make the most of God's blessings. I want to take advantage. Man, God has blessed me with his Spirit, and I want to live my life to the full in the Spirit of the Lord. And God has blessed us with his inspired Word. I want to take advantage, man. I want to make the most of God's Word in my life. So I believe it will help us to not take God's blessings for granted and will help us to take advantage and make the most of God's blessings in our lives. Thank God for his Spirit and his Word. If you agree with that, would you say it with me? Thank God for his Spirit and his Word. And this morning, I know we could come up with many reasons we have to be grateful, but I just want to share three in the time that we have. I'll give them to you right now just so that you hear it, but you don't have to be a speed writer, all right? We'll go back and we'll put them all on the screen. But we can thank God for his Spirit and his Word because we need God's Spirit and we need God's Word to know God, to know God's will, and to know God's power. We need God's Spirit and his Word to, first of all, know God, to know God's will, and to know God's power. And I'm going to ask you once you get your hands free, if you would join me in the book of John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, we'll take a moment, go through each one. John chapter 5. The Bible says this in verse 38. This is Jesus speaking, John chapter 5 and verse 38. Jesus is speaking to some very religious people of his day, some of the most religious who have ever lived. And he says, "You do not have the word abiding or living in you, because whom God sent, the Son, him you do not believe. Notice this, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. I believe we know that there is a creator by the fact that there is a creation. No one would look at this building and say it just appeared, or at least most people aren't going to look at this building and say it just appeared out of nowhere. It came from nothing. There was no intelligent design behind it. It was just poof, and it came into being. Because a building, you might think, well, maybe there's a builder. And if there's a painting, you might think, well, maybe there's a painter. And if you have a creation, see, we have to be taught that there's not a creator. Maybe I should say it this way. We have to be indoctrinated that there's not a creator. But while creation may, I believe, give us an indication, man, there's something out there. In fact, Friday morning, I got up early. I was up about 4 something. I went on down. I had the message in my heart here. We're working on it. So I went on down in the office at the house, and I'm working, and I must have scooted back a little bit from the desk, and I don't know why, even unless it was just the Lord. And from where I'm sitting, I just kind of looked up over to my left, and I looked outside the window, and I was like, oh. So I went and got my shoes and went outside and walked down the block to the end of the street so I could see. And I see the lunar eclipse. And I was like, man, look at that. And I had just heard on the radio, I happened to be in the car when it was on, someone announced on the radio, one of the Christian stations, that this particular type of eclipse, I'm not sure what the uniqueness was, but it hasn't happened in close to 600 years. It was 500 and something years. I was like, wow. So I went on back, started working some more, and then a little after 5, I checked out again, and the moon had gone down behind my neighbor's trees. So I went out again, had my coffee, and walked a couple blocks down the street, and I was looking at it, and the moon had like just a part of the lower, from my view, right-hand corner, still had a little bit of that circle over it. And I remember walking back to the house thinking, my father did that. But see, how would we know God's holiness? And how would we know God's goodness? And how would we know God's love for us? And how would we know God's resurrection power if it wasn't revealed to us in His Word? So thank God for His Word. But then Jesus said this, if you turn over to chapter 6, I'm sorry, John chapter 6 and verse 63. Jesus, again, is still speaking here. And He says, because like these men, they had the Word. But they, do you know it's possible for us to know Scripture intellectually and yet not know the author personally? And that's what, sadly, some people have. They have religion, but they don't have Christ. And they know some things about the Bible, but they don't know God. So that's what Jesus was telling them. And then He says this in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So we can know something in our mind, but we can even know the Scripture, but we need the Spirit of God to take that word and bring it to life in us. So that it's not just a history book or science book or religious book. It is the living Word of God to us. Thank God. That's right. It's not just information. Transformation is what God is after. Growing in Christ's likeness. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. Would you say that with me? Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. So we need the Spirit and the Word to know God, to know God's will, and to know God's power. Let me give you a couple of references here as we look into God's will. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if still there in John, you can stay there. I'll give you one more reference. But I'll read it to you. It's on the screen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means it's God-breathed. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon men's hearts, and He guided them in what to say and what to write. So all scripture is given by inspirational of God, and it is profitable. It's all profitable for teaching. That's what doctrine means. It'll teach us for reproof, for correction. God's word will convict us, but it'll also correct us and show us how to go the right way. All scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. God created us and designed us so he knows best how we function and how we can live with wisdom in this life and live with his blessings in this life. There was a show, and it was a little bit before my time. I just know well of it. I never really watched it, but it was called Father Knows Best. Y'all heard of it. Father knows best. In this case, it is actually true. The Father knows best. And if we want to know how to build good relationships, the Father knows best. And he instructs us in his word. If we want to know how to handle money wisely, he instructs us in his word. If we want to know how to have victory when we're tempted, because we're all tempted, Christian or not, how do we have victory in temptation? He instructs us in his word. If we want to know how to persevere in the midst of trials and just the battle and the darkness of the valley, he instructs us in his word. Thank God for his spirit, and thank God for his word. Not only does he give us the instruction, he gives us truth to live by, but he gives us real life examples. He gives us people, and he gives us examples of those who rejected his word and those who followed his word, those who suffered the consequences and those who were ultimately blessed, even if they suffered in this life. So we need to have a treasure here in God's word. But then Jesus says this in John 16, if you turn there, John 16 and verse 13, the Bible says this. In fact, before I read again, this is Jesus speaking. One of the ladies, of course, all of you here, share with us how the Lord brought scripture to her memory this week as her sister, one of her sisters, went into the hospital and then passed away on yesterday, went to be with the Lord. And that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He brings these words back to our remembrance when they're needed. But Jesus says this in John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. So I know some people, and I've heard it over the years, and they mean well. It was not said in a like an evil way or just like a false teaching. But some people would say, well, all we need is the word. I would just say this, I respectfully disagree, because if all we needed was the word would be all we'd have. All right, so let me ask you this. The Bible tells us maybe about a situation, how to work out a conflict. So you're in conflict with someone, maybe a family member, maybe a work associate. So how are you going to take the truth that's in the word and best apply it to that unique situation, to that person? We need God's spirit to guide us. Amen. What about areas that the scripture does not specifically address? For example, show me in the Bible what your specific ministry is in the body of Christ. Now, I can show you gifts. I give examples, but do you see how that's something we have to seek the Lord in? How about this one? Should I marry this person? Now, there are truths to go by. If we're believers, we shouldn't even be considering a non-Christian because that would be an unequal yoke to us. But what about maybe what school should I attend? What career should I pursue? Should I make this purchase? Those are the type of questions in life that we seek God and the guidance of his Holy Spirit on. That's why Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. So I'll give you an example. When we were first married, I don't know if they called. Remember we went to a hotel over in Petersburg one time and they did this little presentation, like a photo type package or something we could buy, and you pay so much on it. and you know, you get all these 8x10s and, you know, for whatever it was. And we went, and I guess they kind of talked us into it with the sales pitch. And we end up buying this little, you know, photo package. Did we ever even use it? That's where we should have said, hey, we're going to pray on that one and we'll get back to you. I'm going to seek God on this. And now that was just one thing. It wasn't like it was sin necessarily, but we could have probably made a wiser decision on that. So those are the type of situations where we seek God's will in prayer and then ask Him to guide us. And generally speaking, here's how God will answer on something that's not a specific command in Scripture. He will guide us by giving us peace. Mm-hmm. And even if everything looked right, if you have an uneasiness in your spirit or in your heart, I would say proceed with caution on that one, or don't proceed at all until you have peace. Because the Holy Spirit knows what's coming, and He could be, I mean, it could be a relationship with someone and you're wanting, you know, maybe it's going this direction. And if you sense some uneasiness, I would listen to the Holy Spirit on that one and say, I think I better wait. I better pray on this some more. And you know, another thing, like even in this situation, we could have probably used some godly counsel that would have blessed us to help us maybe with financial, you know, just on wisdom. So godly counsel is available too. And sometimes God's Spirit may give us, not dictating to us and controlling, but He may confirm something already in our heart through another person by God's Spirit. Does that make sense? All right, so thank God for His Spirit and thank God for His Word. And then if you're there in John, would you turn over to Acts chapter 1? To know God, to know God's will, and to know God's power. Acts chapter 1. And I don't know this to be the case, but let's just say that, you know, Gandhi or Confucius, they had some, you know, good saying. It was a wise, you know, life saying or whatever. Maybe in some cases, without them even knowing it, they said something that was true in Scripture. And they just kind of, you know, shared some scriptural truth, like Jesus said, you know, 2,000 years ago, treat others the way you want to be treated. And maybe they said something along that line. Well, so let's say I'm Hindu, you know, Buddhist, whatever the case may be. Not a bash of anyone like that. But so now I'm in a situation where, let's use the words of Jesus. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Okay. Now, let me see you go ahead and pull that one off with your own human willpower. I mean, genuinely from your heart. So we have the word, but do you see why we also need the power of God's Spirit to help us live that out? So in Jesus, again, speaking in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Not just something you'll do, it's who you are. You shall be witnesses to me or for me, right there where you are, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul was an apostle who wrote about the frustration of knowing God's word and even wanting to do the right thing, and yet still sinning. How many of us been there, done that? I really mean it this time. And we can have the best of intentions. I tell you, I've been there. Paul only found victory. That was Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 8, he found victory by staying in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He is the key. The Holy Spirit was given to us when we are born again, when we come to that place where He convicts us of our sin and draws us to the truth that Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for my sins. And He rose again from the dead and conquered death. When we come to that realization and we confess Him as Lord, believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we are forgiven of all sin, made righteous in the sight of a holy God, and His Holy Spirit indwells us. I'm I'm so thankful. I believe one of the greatest keys to victory is to be more aware of the presence of God's Spirit in our life. Because if we neglect Him, I remember David Wilkerson, a pastor who had gone on some years ago. I remember I was in a service, I think one time, where he referred to having the Holy Spirit in the unemployment line of our lives. The Holy Spirit is right there available to us, and here's a need, but we're trying to tough it out on our own or doing whatever instead of using Him and taking advantage. Holy Spirit, help me. I used to look at it like God was just kind of watching me, and He just wanted me to mess up so He could. But I've come to a greater revelation of His love for me and for us. And He's not hovering over us that way at all. He's right there with us saying, I'm here to help you. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You can count on me. Just trust me. I'll help you love that person. I'll help you wait until you've got the money to buy that item. I'll help you do this. I'll help you pray for that. I'll help you support this person. I'll help you through the passing of your loved one. I'm right here with you, and I'm for you. I will help you. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. Thank God. So He indwells us, and I believe, again, it was we thank God for His Spirit and His Word, taking full advantage. And then one more reference. Would you turn to Acts chapter 20? Last one, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. Would you say that with me? Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. And we need God's Spirit. We need His Word so we can know God, so that we can know God's will, and so we can know God's power to live it out. How many of you know we can grow weak spiritually just like we can grow weak physically? You know that, right? The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. See, when we are born again and God's Spirit indwells us, then when our faith is weak, and we feed our faith on God's Word by hearing the Word and by dwelling on the Word. It's not enough to come to church once a week. Thank God for that. But it's not enough. We've got to live the other 6 days in the week. It's not enough to just hear a word and then 15 minutes later, we don't remember anything that was said, and then we go on and struggle through the rest of our week like we didn't have that word. We need that word not only we need to constantly hear it, we need to dwell on it and focus on it and confess it, because you know what we dwell on grows. And we can dwell on the worry and the fear and the problem and the person and the situation and the devil and the darkness, and it will grow. Or we can dwell on God and His Word, and it will grow. And faith is greater than fear, at least faith in God. So we feed our faith, and there's something when we have the Spirit of God on the inside, it builds us up spiritually. I would say many of us know what it is to have God's Spirit and God's Word comfort us when we're hurting, convict us when we're wrong, strengthen us when we're weak, and give us wisdom when we don't know which way to turn. Thank God for His Spirit and His Word. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful for God's Spirit in you and God's Word to you? I believe you. I am as well. So let's close with this. Let's make it real practical. What is one way, just one way, we could show our gratitude to God for His Spirit and His Word? And I want to ask you to think about it. And if you have an idea, I want to ask you to just raise your hand. Let me acknowledge you. What is one way we could show our gratitude to God? Because I believe I am thankful for God's Spirit in me. I'm thankful for His Word to me. How could we show our gratitude? Okay, a couple of you. I tell you what, Dave, if you don't mind, I'm going to do ladies first, okay? Miss Linda. Okay, to be obedient to His, and that could be both. When we read a scripture, to be obedient to His Word, and then the prompting of the Holy Spirit, David? Well, there you go. That's a good one. Just tell him. That, you know, sometimes that's, isn't that, we can just kind of take that for granted, can't we? Don't you like it when someone genuinely shows appreciation, like to thank you for something that maybe you have done? So that's right. Just tell him, Wendy and Brother Smitty. Okay.
That little gut feeling that
right.
People say, well, that might be the Lord telling you, hey.
To just yield
so
to His will.
To prioritize spending time. Let's prioritize getting on that golf game, make sure we get our free coins.
Okay. To prioritize God's word and God's time with the Lord, right?
Daily priority.
Amen.
I'm working on that.
That's right. I think we all are making a daily priority of that time with the Lord, Brother Smitty. Amen. Not just being a hearer only, but to show our gratitude by being a doer of the word. One more. Don't you know that would make him, that would show, that would bless our Father's heart. And Rick? Okay. Being a good steward of everything that he is, not only of God's word, God's spirit, every opportunity, like you mentioned earlier, every relationship, being a good manager. All right, one more. Yes. To love our neighbor, we could show our appreciation for God's Spirit and His Word by how we treat others. All right? Thank you all. Lord bless you. Let's stand together as we close in prayer.